are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
You just hate all people named Eli. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, I think there's good reason for that.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. There's good reason for hating me, but not Eli Manning. What is it? Come on. Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall. He's got weapons, baby.
Yeah, and a noodle arm.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I'm doing great, but when my internet inevitably drops out during this podcast, I'm going to make somebody at Xfinity very, very angry.
Why'd you have to call the company, man? It's messed up.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike and Eli. Mike, how you doing?
Man, I feel refreshed. I've been working nonstop, seems like, for the last like few months. So to get a day off and talk some football is a really nice experience. So I'm happy.
Yeah, we're going to talk some football today or right now. And then you and I are going to talk some baseball with Greg Smith later. So that should be a lot of fun. Eli, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, but when my internet inevitably drops out during this podcast, I'm going to make somebody at Xfinity very, very angry.
Why'd you have to call the company, man? It's messed up.
No, good. Call them out. I'm sure the president of Xfinity listens to the podcast.
At least one of his subsidiary, you know, people. Someone in that company's got to be listening, and I'm sure they'll remedy the situation immediately.
They better. All right. Today we are going to start our division preview. We're going to start with Eli's and my home division, that being the home of the Washington Redskins, my favorite team, and the home of the Dallas Cowboys, Eli's favorite team for some odd reason. So,
nobody likes the Cowboys.
And then we're going to all get together for the next podcast and talk about the division of Mike's favorite team, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we thought we'd start with our favorite divisions and continue to work through them. I will unfortunately be on vacation, so hopefully Mike and Eli can get together next week and record one or two more episodes so we can continue this going. We also have got a bunch of new people joining us. But before we jump right into that, I want to remind everybody, give us a 5-star review. If you do that, that will get you entered in to win something cool from Friends of Fantasy Benefits. We got T-shirts. I've got some other cool swag. Mike has mugs, we will be giving away some free Friends of Fantasy Benefits gear to people who've given us 5-star reviews. So far, I think we're like a perfect 15 for 15. So keep those coming. Don't give us any bad reviews because that really kills us.
If you don't like us, just message us. I mean, ask me on Twitter for my message or for my my information. I literally will let you vent all you want. Just don't do it on iTunes.
Yeah, you can send any bad messages you want, dick pics or otherwise, to Mike on Twitter at Mike Warner FWFB. You can reach Eli for any of your bachelorette needs at Eli FWFB. And you can reach me for anything else you want on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. All right, that should take care of all the kind of business stuff. So let's just jump right into our preview. We're gonna start with Eli's team, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. They had a pretty big season last year on the backs of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. So Eli, can those two repeat?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, Prescott had one of the better rookie seasons I've ever seen. I mean, it's really impressive. 68% completion, 3,700 yards, 23 touchdowns and 4 picks, really limiting the mistakes. Really smart player. Also had 6 rushing touchdowns, so he does a little bit of everything. He's on a great offense. He's got a great running back to support him, an elite receiver in Dez, a safety valve in Jason Witten, a couple other decent receivers in Williams and Beasley. Great line, obviously. There could be a little bit of a sophomore slump. It's going to be tough to fully duplicate that season, but there's no reason why you shouldn't improve as a player. Maybe the numbers won't be quite as good necessarily, but he's pretty safe. He's going to, even on nights where he doesn't throw for a lot of yards, he might sneak in a rushing touchdown. So he's about as reliable as it comes in terms of late QB1.
Mike, what are your thoughts? Can Dak repeat?
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on Zeke first and foremost. Is like I had him in multiple spots last year, and I'm just happy that he performed like he did. Mind you, the Cowboys' offensive line was otherworldly, and I think they're going to continue to be that way. I think they are just well-coached and very disciplined on the offensive line side of things, and that gives a really nice opportunity for somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, who already is a top five running back in terms of talent behind that line. I think he's just a surefire number three pick, which is where he's going in drafts. As far as Dak goes, he was the number six overall quarterback last year in points. And, you know, where he's going now is about as the 10th quarterback overall. So it looks like it would be some value, perceived value, based on where he's going in drafts this year. My thing is, though, with quarterback from a strategy standpoint, I'm not going to be drafting in that tier. Like, if I'm going to go with Dak Prescott, then I would rather just wait and go with maybe Eli Manning late or Tyrod Taylor at, you know, quarterback 18. I can even go later. Just quarterback is as deep as that's ever been. And I don't find there to be a reason to go with Prescott at pick, you know, 88, 89, which is where he's going currently. So overall, I do think Prescott will have another top 10 season. So I don't, you know, discourage anybody from drafting him. I just don't believe in taking a quarterback there when you can get probably better value later on.
I think it just depends on your draft, because, I mean, I was in the Fantasy Football Magazine mock draft, which you can go buy that magazine on newsstands now. And I'll tweet a picture of it. I'm going to swing by and go pick one up for myself here shortly.
They don't even give you one? Messed up.
They do, but shameless
plug number one. We're going to keep track of
yes,
the amount on the podcast.
But I got him, like, super late. I took Cam Newton as my my top quarterback, and then ended up grabbing him as my QB2 in a 14-team league near like the back end, so like around 20. So I think depending on where you're drafting, depending on who you're drafting with, you could see Prescott be going off way, way too late. Prescott was a guy I didn't believe in until it was way too late last year. I'm totally buying in this year, especially because I'm a bit worried about Ezekiel Elliott, and it has nothing
to do with... Of course you are. You were last year, too.
But it has
You're nothing... also always worried about Bryce Harper, so, you know, whatever.
Well, and I was right last year on that one, too, so... it has nothing to do with talent. Love the talent. I was wrong on him last year coming into the league. I didn't want to bet on the rookie, and he proved me completely wrong. But Adam Schechter of ESPN is reported recently that he could face discipline based on a domestic violence allegation from last year, that the league is investigating it, and there's a chance that he could get suspended in spite of the fact that he was never even charged with anything. And if you lose him for a few weeks, I don't know how you take him in the top three running backs.
Someone gets arrested or suspended on that team every 5 minutes. It's really getting annoying.
Yeah. Well, someone gets arrested or suspended on every team in the NFL every 5 minutes. But I'd be, you know, part of me feels like this would be a little out of bounds, considering the person who accused him has been turned or made to look very, very crazy, considering her other social media posts and text messages that were revealed. But Adam Schechter is the best in the business.
You keep calling him Schechter and not Schechter. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm tired. I got
He's
my
about
I got,
Larry
yeah,
Schechter.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Larry Schechter in baseball. Yeah, Schechter. Sorry. He's one of the best in the business. And if he's reporting this, and he said personally he would not draft Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, I'm gonna. I feel like I got to move him down. I don't know how, because right now I'm my third-ranked running back, and I just don't really want to put him below guys like Melvin Gordon or Jordan Howard, but I think I may move him far enough back in the first round where I'm not going to touch him probably this year.
I have a question.
Unless we have some clarity.
Well, I have a question real quick for you two guys. What percentage chance do you give that Elliott's rookie season is the best fantasy season he ever has, and same for Prescott? Because I think that's it's possibly on the table that they never duplicate that.
I'd say 30% for Prescott and 15% for Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, percentage chance that it's their best season ever. I mean, I would say, yeah, about 20 to 30% for Prescott and, like, lower for Ezekiel, like, probably like 10%. I think he has another season or two.
With the amount Prescott runs around, that eventually he gets hurt, and maybe that limits his chance of him having longevity.
Yeah, my only argument on the Zeke point is it's valid that, yes, he could miss time, and I think that what he did in the offseason is, you know, frankly, quite irresponsible and immature, but in terms of drafting him, we have the same argument, you know, these last couple of years with Le'Veon Bell. When he's on the field, he is a top-tier running back, an advantage to your team on a week-to-week basis. So I still think Elliott, even if he were suspended, is worth taking in the top five because he is that valuable on a week-to-week basis after you do get to activate him. And you can always take the handcuff later on. But, I mean, even if you take Morris, say – I don't even know where he's going, but, you know, the late rounds, you can still have a guy that you can pencil in for the first few games of the season. He won't be like D'Angelo Williams good, but he will be at least a running back two behind that offensive line that can kind of mitigate your risk for the first few weeks that Zeke is out. I just, you know, from a week-to-week basis, he's too valuable.
Yeah, and I get the point, and that's one of the reasons I'm having a hard time moving him down within my running back ranks. But at the same time, I just... We don't know how long. I mean, at least with Le'Veon Bell, we knew exactly how long he was going to be out. At this point, we have no idea. And maybe there's more clarity as we start really getting into draft season. But, like, if you've got an early draft, if you're drafting sometime in July, I don't know how you take Ezekiel Elliott where he's going right now. All right, let's move on and talk about Dez Bryant. I got to ask, Eli, is Dez Bryant still elite?
Yeah. I mean, he's not, you know, quite as reliable as some of the other guys. He's, you know, lower tier number wide receiver one, but he's still a wide receiver number one. He's such a huge target. He's Witten's solid, but he's not going to get a lot of red zone looks. Terrence Williams is just like a big play guy. Beasley is just a trying to get crappy first down. So Dez is the main target. He's going to get a ton of looks. He's going to get a ton of touchdowns. Prescott's going to look for him a ton. He's been relatively healthy for the most part in his career. I know he's had some nicks and scrapes, but for the most part he plays. So he's a little bit of a riskier number one, but I'm still counting on him, and I think he's going at a fair price.
What do you think, Mike? Are you buying in on Dez Bryant this year? Is he still an elite wide receiver one?
I mean, I wouldn't say he's an elite wide receiver one, especially based on his injury issues and concerns, but I'm still drafting him. He's going about pick 20 right now. I will say this, that Amari Cooper's been my guy, so I just have kind of bypassed Bryant thus far because Cooper is just somebody to me that can win you a league almost by himself this year. And with Bryant, I think that he's just stable and consistent. While he does get injured and while it has been just kind of a rough road the last couple of years, he still is somebody that you can rely on. He's still going to get targeted in the end zone whenever they're in the red zone. That was kind of weird. But, like, I just think overall he's somebody that you can kind of somewhat depend on. I don't think he's an elite wide receiver one, but I don't mind drafting him early just because he has been pretty stable when he's been on the field, and I think he'll continue to be that way. He did kind of end the year on somewhat of a high note, and, you know, hopefully that continues going into this year. There's a big amount of risk, but at the same time, he's been so consistent in his career that I feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be more hits than misses, but I think – you probably have a few more misses than you do with some of the other kind of top-tier wide receiver ones types. I think he'll be fine, especially because as long as he's healthy, he's the guy in Dallas in the receiving game. They really don't have a ton else there, which brings me to my next question, Mike. Is there anybody else worth drafting in their wide receiver game?
If I was going to draft any of them, it would be Cole Beasley and my phone's ringing. It would be Cole Beasley in a PPR league pretty late if it had to be. And then Bryce Butler, I've always been somewhat intrigued by, but I don't
stop it.
You know, yeah, I know. It's his route running is still extremely raw. And while he is extremely talented, even when Dez was out last year, he didn't really have a significant role. So I'd say Cole Beasley, if anybody, if I was going to draft one of these guys.
Sorry. Mute your microphone, bro.
Yeah, seriously. I'm leaving all that in. Eli, what's your thought on this? Are there any other wide receivers worth drafting in Dallas?
Yeah, I agree with Mike on the Beasley point. Obviously, way better in a PPR league. He had almost 100 targets last year, 75 catches, 5 touchdowns. So he's pretty solid. Terrence Williams is a guy who's really talented, and he shows flashes from time to time. But you can't count on him. I wouldn't draft him. But on a week with, like, you know, 4 bye weeks or something, and Dallas has a good matchup, I like to throw Terrence Williams in there as, like, a kind of an upside play. But, don't touch Bryce Butler.
Yeah, I'm not a falling for that Terrence Williams bullshit anymore. But Beasley's a guy I think is a tad bit underrated this year. I mean, yeah. He's going in, like, the neighborhood of Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu on ESPN.com. I think he's quite a bit more valuable than that. I mean, he received at least 3 catches, or he got at least 3 catches in all but one of his games last year. He's not going to be a guy that really lights up the box score for you, except for on really rare occasions. But he's kind of a steady wide receiver 3 in PPR leagues, which a lot of people are moving to, and I hate.
Agreed.
Yep. Let's move on to my team and talk about the Washington Redskins. Start with you, Mike. What are your thoughts on Kirk Cousins this year? Is he a quarterback 1?
Yes, he is. I have no problems with him. The offensive line for Washington is actually somewhat good. They were top 5 in pass protection last year, and they were also top 7 in run blocking as well. So, I mean, I was actually kind of surprised to see that, but you know, Cousins is always going to sling it. Is he a good NFL quarterback like you've alluded to in other shows? No, he's not. But in fantasy, he's going to be a consistent top 10 option. Last year, he ended up as a top 5 quarterback in points per game, which is pretty astounding for the talent level that Cousins is. But the weapons, while they've changed a bit, they haven't changed enough for me to drop him in my overall ranks of him. I think right now he's going outside the top 10. Number 11 at quarterback, right behind Dak Prescott. Get him around pick 90. I would definitely take somebody like Winston ahead of him because, I mean, I'm obviously a Buccaneer fan, but I think Cousins is one of the guys that I would take ahead of Prescott just because the upside is that of a top 5 guy. And while I think Prescott will be a top 10 option, he doesn't present the same upside to me because they rely on Ezekiel Elliott over there in Dallas. So with Cousins, they rely on him to get him out of to get the Washington Redskins out of games. And there's going to be a lot of shootouts, in my opinion, as well. I think that Cousins is a pretty premier option right now.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I really like Cousins. I mean, he threw the ball 600 times, almost had 5,000 yards. I feel like he got a little unlucky. He could have had even a better fantasy season. He only had 25 touchdowns. Throwing that ball that many times, I got a feeling he's going to throw for more than 25 touchdowns this year. He's got a great group of pass catchers, obviously an elite tight end in Reed, a pretty deep and solid receiving core in Pryor, Crowder, and Doxon could maybe take a little bit of a leap and be productive. So I think he's got good weapons. This is a solid offense, and he's going to air it out a ton. And I think those touchdowns go up.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. He is a really, 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 really bad real life quarterback. But
oh, stop it! No, he's not.
I watch him every week. He is fucking awful and making decisions. I don't think he has a fantastic arm, but in that offense, man, he's like the perfect fit. They've tailor made it for him, and he gets points week in and week out. You ready for self promotion number 2? I was talking with Jake Seeley on my radio show last Thursday, and we had this argument, and he actually like agreed with me in terms of him being a really shitty real life quarterback. But he did not want to buy that he's a good fantasy option. And my argument is just because you're a shitty quarterback and, you know, in real life, and I've talked about this with Cousins, with Tyrod Taylor, with Marcus Mariota, who I all think are massively overrated because of fantasy.
Tebow,
just because you're a good, good fantasy quarterback doesn't make you a good real life quarterback and vice versa. And this is a prime example. And I think he is a tad bit underrated. I have him as my quarterback 10. I think I would take him over Prescott, but just barely. And I have Winston above both of him because I do believe with the weapons this year he may take a step forward. But I think Cousins is a guy that is being a little bit overlooked by the industry and should be a pretty reliable quarterback 1 if you're going to wait in a 10 or 12 team league.
Yeah, all 3 of us have Cousins 1 spot ahead of Prescott. Yep. Or 1 or 2 spots ahead, yep.
Oh, well, I didn't realize Mike had actually done ranks.
No, I didn't.
You got QB ranks. That's it. all right, let's talk about the running back situation, because you got some people who are really buying in Fat Rob. You got some people who are buying into the new rookie. So, Mike, which one are you buying into?
I'm buying into P. Ryan, and I think that he's better, honestly, than Kelly. I do like Kelly, and I liked what he provided in, you know, a somewhat limited sample last year. But at the same time, he's just too much of a bulldozer. And yes, he might be kind of a threat in the, you know, red zone or goal to go situations. But at the end of the day, while P. Ryan was only a fourth round pick, it wasn't like they spent a ton on him. From every indication that I've seen, Washington really likes this kid. And I think that he's going to end up winning the job in the end. Do I think that's going to be kind of a cluster at the beginning of the season? Yeah, I do. But I do think that the Washington Redskins will probably make it more of a feature back situation than a, you know, kind of a, you know, one, or I guess comparisons. I can't think of the situation that I'm talking about. But anyways, I think that it's going to end up being P. Ryan. And I think that based on where he's going, like pick 115 is a well worth spot for him. Kelly's going ahead of him right now in drafts, and I just disagree with it. In the end, if they're going to draft P. Ryan, I think that they're going to use him.
Eli, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I lean towards P. Ryan as well. Is that how you pronounce it? Because it just looks wrong. But
yeah, I don't know. That's why.
No, Mike's probably right. I don't know why I'm asking.
That's the way they said in the draft. So that's the way I'm talking. I'm saying it.
I just worry about this situation a little bit. I feel like Kelly's going to get first downs, P. Ryan's going to get second downs, and Thompson's going to get all the third down work. Obviously, that's not what's going to happen. But I just think there's like three guys that are clearly going to get touches here, and maybe someone fully emerges, but it's gonna be tough to know who that person is. Kelly looked pretty good last year. He'll get some looks, so I lean towards P. Ryan, but this is too early to know. I think preseason is gonna determine what happens here. This is why I think it's dumb to draft early. So hopefully you listening are gonna draft a month from now and not in the next couple weeks.
I couldn't agree with you more, Eli. It is dumb to draft early, because this is one of those situations. P. Ryan's one of those guys that I think he has a ton of talent. I think he's the best overall back in that backfield. But he's had a lot of injury issues throughout college. So, I mean, this is one of those things that I think will work itself out one way or another. But I'm going to bank on Kelly, because I think he's the most durable. But I do believe if you draft one, you might as well just draft all of them. So I think there are a few situations in fantasy this year in which guys are must handcuffs, and I think P. Ryan is a must handcuff for Rob Kelly. If you end up with Kelly, you've got to just double up there. Take P. Ryan a little bit earlier than you might do if you're just kind of taking a flyer on him. But I think P. Ryan, in the end, as long as he's healthy, will be the feature back. I just don't really have a ton of faith in his health situation. I mean, this is a guy, like I said, he's been injured a bunch in college. You know, we never know how guys are going to translate over health-wise to the NFL. He could be like the next Frank Gore, who missed a ton of time in college and then has been just a stud in the pros. But I'm going to bank on a guy if he hasn't been able to hold up full-time in the college game, not being able to do it in the pro games. So if I'm taking one, I'm taking them all, and that's probably something I'm not necessarily willing to do this year. Let's talk about Tyrell Pryor versus Jamison Crowder. We talked a bit about Pryor in our last episode, so we don't have to dive too deep into him. But Eli, which one would you rather have?
I like how you call him Tyrell Pryor. Man, you're really bad at pronunciation. I have Pryor ranked a fair amount better.
I will pronounce shit any way I want.
All right, relax. All right.
Jeremiah's, Tyrell.
Yeah, yeah. Leviticus.
Leviticus. Oh, my gosh. That's a household favorite.
Anyway, I have Pryor ranked like 7 spots better than Crowder, but I'm starting to kind of flip-flop my opinion here. I know Pryor had the better fantasy season. He had 200 more yards, 10 more catches, and he did it with a shitty-ass quarterback situation. So it's up. I like the fact that Pryor is going to Cousins, but he did that production and 43 more targets than Crowder got. Crowder was way more efficient, way more reliable in terms of getting targeted and actually catching the ball. I think Crowder is probably the number one. Pryor's a close second. You could flip-flop them, whatever. But the thing that changes it for me is that Crowder's going like 10 spots later in drafts than Pryor. So I think Crowder's the better value on draft night than Pryor is right now. So I'm leaning towards getting probably Crowder in some of my leagues and passing on Pryor this time.
Mike, where are you at?
Oh, I'm all in on Crowder. He was a top 30 wide receiver in PPR formats last year. He was targeted the third most in the red zone than any other Washington Redskins player last year. And that includes the running backs. So Matt Jones got targeted a little bit more, but he didn't see any red zone targets after week seven. So from week seven on, essentially, Jameson Crowder and Rob Kelly were the only options from the 20-yard line in. And I just think that Crowder, while he is somebody that people compare to like a Wes Welker type, a slot receiver that, you know, gets a ton of targets and receptions, he's also very good in the red zone. He's very good at running routes. He's a good deep route runner as well. Like, he just is a well-rounded wide receiver that doesn't get enough love. He was a top 30 guy last year in PPR. I'm going to say right now he's going to be a top 20 guy this year. And I don't think it's going to be a landslide ahead of Pryor. I think Pryor's going to be fine. And I do think that the touchdown regression will come for Pryor as well, based on the quarterback play that he had in Cleveland. But I just think Crowder is going at too good of a price right now, and I'm willing to take that gamble every single day.
All right. I got a question for you guys. You tell me. Who was the number two or three wide receiver in Cleveland last year in terms of points?
Oh, man.
Is Brian Hartline still alive?
Anybody?
I'm trying to think of who they even had. I was thinking of Taylor Rubisky. Gabriel, but Brian Rubisky. I have no idea, honestly.
It was Corey Coleman and Ricardo Lewis. Corey Coleman and Kenny Britt. Ricardo Lewis was third. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Kenny Britt actually had a pretty decent year. But I think that is a huge reason why Pryor was good. They didn't have anybody else to throw to. There's a ton of options in Washington. The ball is going to be spread around. The guy I want is Crowder. I mean, he's proven to have a connection with Cousins. They target him quite a bit. They will continue to, especially if you play in any sort of, you know, PPR format, half PPR. Crowder's the guy you want. I mean, I understand why everybody's all excited, because Pryor's moving to this system where they're going to throw a bunch. He is the, you know, quote unquote number one guy, but really, when it comes down to it, you're getting a much better deal with Crowder. And honestly, I think I'm going to move him ahead of Pryor just in my ranks completely. I think it's deserved. I think Crowder's going to be in for a very big year now with DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon gone. I'm not worried about him one bit, and I think Pryor is just being a tad bit overrated.
Don't you think Pryor's got significantly more upside, though? And I also think that it's pretty impressive what he did. I know it's not just that they had bad quarterbacks, and I know what you're saying, he was the only target there, but he was, like, basically learned a new position last year and put up a pretty impressive season. You got to think he's going to get better at route running and learning the position this year. So I just feel like he's got much more upside.
I don't know if he's got much more upside. I mean, just the amount of the amount of target share going up for Crowder, I think, increases his ceiling. I think he's got good ceiling. I don't think he's got better ceiling than Crowder. I think that, you know, Washington is a team that is going to spread the ball around, and I think that Crowder has the biggest talent upside. I mean, he's the guy who can stretch the field. He's the guy who can play the slot. He's the guy who can, you know, turn a 5-yard pass into a, you know, 40, 50-yard reception. I think Crowder's the guy to me. I like what Pryor's done. I think it's really, really impressive. I think people are overrating him, though. Let's move on and talk about Jordan Reed. My question to you guys is Jordan Reed worth the price considering his injury past? Eli?
I'd say no. I love Jordan Reed. He's fantastic when he's on the field, but I think there's like three or four other tight ends I'd rather just wait a little bit, a couple rounds on. They're not too much far out. Like, you know, Delanie Walker, Eifert, Graham, Martellus Bennett. Yeah, Reed's better than those guys when he's on the field, but not by such a monumental margin that I'm willing to take the injury risk. I prefer to wait on my tight ends, kind of get two decent ones that I can kind of interchange week to week, or pick. You can always find a decent tight end on the waiver wire usually. So, I don't really like spending tight end early, so, especially one with injury history. So I'm probably going to avoid Reed as much as I love him.
Mike, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, at the end of the day, man, while I love Jordan Reed, and I've been on him since he came out of Florida, as much as I hate the Florida Gators, all of you Florida Gator fans out there, it's one more shot. One more shot, and he's out for his career. Like, that's the way I look at it. One more time that he gets planted on the field, we're not going to be seeing Jordan Reed on the football field anymore. Like, it's dangerous that he's even out there in the first place. I always think of Jahvid Best or David Wilson whenever these guys just fall on the field. And I just, as much as I love Reed, I can't take the shot. What's the real difference between him and somebody like Tyler Eifert from a game-to-game basis? I mean, I know Reed is definitely more talented, but he's going still in the top 40, the third tight end overall, which he probably should be. But Eifert's going at pick 80, and he offers about the same upside on a Cincinnati offense that is probably going to be quite good this year. So while I like Reed, and I think that I'm just echoing what Eli said, essentially, the risk is way too high with him, and he is just one hit away. He can really screw your whole entire draft and really your whole entire season if you put a top three pick into him and he ends up going down for the whole entire year, maybe his career. I think that's too risky.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, I love the talent, but I mean, this is a guy that had either didn't play or scored less than 10 fantasy points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games last year. So he either missed the week completely because of injury or did not get double-digit points in PPR formats last year. And that's, I mean, the format that was supposedly made him, you know, helped make him a top-tier tight end. He's currently going as the number 2 tight end off the board on ESPN.com. He's going over a full round ahead of Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, at the end of the day, you need guys who are going to show up for you week in and week out. You know, we'll talk about Greg Olsen tomorrow, but I think he's massively underrated coming into the season. And I don't understand why everybody keeps banking on this guy to put together a full year. I mean, if he does, he's going to be fantastic. But he's going to leave games early. He's going to miss games completely. And if you're playing in anything deeper than a 10-team league, he's just not worth it. Let's move on and talk about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, should we talk about Josh Doxon real quick?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry. I skipped him because he is a guy that I think nobody's really given a ton of credit to right now. So, Eli, why don't you tell me, is Doxon going to break out this year?
I don't think so. I hate rookie receivers, and I know he's a second-year player, but essentially he's a rookie again because he was injured all last year, pretty much didn't play at all. So I view him as a rookie, so I hate that. He's also, the fourth option in the passing game? I mean, if someone were to get hurt, obviously he'd get a bigger role and he's someone to keep an eye out on. And as he's obviously going really late, you can kind of take chances on forgotten players like this and hit pay dirt. So I get taking a look at him and taking a chance, but I just don't think it's going to happen on this offense this year.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
I think he's worth a shot as a just flyer, because that's essentially where he's going right now anyways, like outside the top 150, outside the top 60 wide receivers. If you were trying to play it safe later on in the draft, and Cole Beasley is going a little bit after him, Will Fuller, guys like that. But I love Doxon first and foremost. He is, if I was doing a, you know, draft last year, just based on, I actually did a supplemental draft last year, and the most money I spent on a player was Doxon, knowing that he wasn't going to be playing. But you know, from all accounts, he's healthy right now. Yes, he is essentially a rookie at this point, because he's going to be continuing. While he did have a year, you know, learning the playbook, it's one thing to actually, you know, read the stuff as opposed to putting it on the field. But, you know, from all accounts, he is a polished route runner. He comes from a spread scheme at TCU. He's somebody that I think is perfect for this offensive scheme. So I think that he's worth a flyer later in drafts, just because I think in the second half of the season, he could find his way into meaningful reps and, you know, get a meaningful, a good amount of target share as well, especially with, you know, guys like, you know, Reed that, you know, obviously could get injured at any point. Somebody like Terrell Pryor hasn't been the healthiest in the world. There's multiple avenues in which Doxon could get an expanded role. And if that happens, I think that that will lead to good things. So I think he's more of a second half project, but I'm willing to draft him as a flyer late right now.
I think this is the year he breaks out, and maybe this is homerism.
Yeah, it is.
maybe it's me reading a little bit too much into things, but he, after missing virtually the entire year last year with Achilles injuries, he is looking healthy and looking dominant in training camp. This could be media speak, this could be team speak, but if he's healthy, I think he could emerge as the number one target in Washington on a team that likes to throw a lot. So I think there'll still be plenty of targets for Pryor. I think there'll still be plenty of targets for Crowder because, I mean, this is a throw-first team. But I think this is a guy that could really jump into wide receiver two, wide receiver three territory, currently going as the 64th wide receiver off the board in ESPN behind Kevin White. Quincy Inouye. I should never have just picked that one.
That's awesome.
But behind Breshad Perriman. I mean, you know, I think he's got a ton of upside, and I think he's worth the flyer late because he's a guy that, you know, he's got pedigree. He was one of the top receivers out of the draft class last year. I think if he had gone in this draft class, he would have been the top receiver taken. So, big fan of Josh Doctson, I think he's going to be on my sleeper list this year. Let's move on to the Eagles now. Talk about Carson Wentz. With the amount of weapons they've added in Philadelphia this year, Eli, is he a breakout?
He's certainly capable of it. He had a pretty good rookie season, but he turned the ball over way too much. I know that happens with rookie quarterbacks, but 16 touchdown passes, 14 interceptions. I think he had like 9 fumbles. Way too turnover prone. He's like Brett Favre over here. He does have a solid amount of weapons. I like that. He's definitely a guy I like in a 2QB league, but and in a dynasty league. But this year, I'm not going to be relying on him unless I'm taking him like as like the 16th quarterback off the board in a 2QB league.
All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on Wentz?
I think, well, to bring up a point from the last topic we were saying, I think you have a good bold predictions piece there, Justin. Maybe put, say, Jameson Crowder and Josh Doctson end up with more fantasy points than Terrell Pryor and Jordan Reed, something like that. I think that's probably something you could do.
Yeah, I think that's something I might do.
All right, yeah, I really like Wentz this year. I think that he takes an incremental step forward. I don't think he'll break out necessarily, but he'll probably take like a Jameis Winston-type step forward. He, you know, is going in the top 140 right now, and I think that's an apt place for him. The offensive line for the Eagles is solid. I think really after the first 6 games, he started to press a little bit. He lost a couple of options on the offensive line that really didn't give him time in the pocket, and I think that he's somebody that succeeds whenever he does have, you know, a planned approach and, you know, can kind of, you know, play within the bounds of the Phillies or the Philadelphia system. So, I mean, while the weapons are nice, Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith being added and LeGarrette Blount as well to kind of add balance to the whole entire offense, I think that he's going to be more of a quarterback two this season, but it doesn't necessarily deter me from drafting him. I think he's going to be a solid quarterback two, somebody that is probably going to finish as like a top 16 guy, which, you know, based on where he's going, doesn't seem like that much value, but I think from a game to game basis, he'll have more top 10 weeks than we might think.
Torrey Smith is not an asset. All right. He's not a weapon. Sorry.
No, it's not. But like as their third wide receiver, that's not bad. I mean, I like what they've done in terms of adding weapons around him. I think having LeGarrette Blount there is nice. I think that'll take some pressure off. Having Alshon Jeffrey, we talked about him in the last episode. That, to me, is a fantastic addition to them. I think Wentz, I think he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to make mistakes. But I think the amount of weapons around him will make him into a top 15 quarterback this year. I don't know that I could take him much higher than that. I mean, I currently, let's see, I have him as my 15th quarterback going off the board. But I, you know, guys that are getting a lot of publicity over him in drafts right now, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning are two guys that I would take Wentz over because I feel like
what?
Really? You wouldn't?
You take Wentz over Manning and Rivers.
Definitely over Manning. I think Rivers, I've got Rivers as my 20th quarterback. I think I'm going to move him up, but definitely over Eli Manning.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, board bet.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that board bet all day long. Eli Manning is done. We'll talk about him here in a few minutes, but I have no real faith in Eli Manning being a good quarterback moving forward.
You just hate all people named Eli. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, I think there's good reason for that.
That's good reason for hating me, but not Eli Manning. What is it? Come on. Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall. He's got weapons, baby.
Yeah, and a noodle arm. all right. Speaking of LeGarrette Blount, again, another guy we talked about a little bit more in depth in the last podcast, but want to get your guys' thoughts just real quick again. Will Blount be a top 20 running back this year, Eli?
I definitely think it's possible, but you know what? He doesn't even have to be because he's going as a 31st running back off the board, which is a little crazy to me. I get that he's not super talented and he's leaving the New England offense and that he averaged less than 4 yards a carry last year and that his 18 touchdowns will not duplicate. All that being said, he's the clear number one there. Sproles is a third down kind of guy. Same as Smallwood. I just think LeGarrette Blount gets a ton of first and second down looks and he's going to get all the goal line work. And he's on a pretty good offense. And the fact that he's going as a 31st running back to me, it's just crazy. There's just so few running backs that are so clearly the main guy. And I think he's one of them. He should be moved up at least like 10 spots on the draft board.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
Blount is, I think, a shoe-in to get 10 touchdowns. And the fact that Ryan Matthews touched the ball 41 times in the red zone last year bodes well for Blount's outlook for this season. When you look at all the running backs from Philadelphia last season, Sproles even got 30 touches in the red zone. Wendell Smallwood got around 10. Kenyon Barter got some. So this is a team in Philadelphia that certainly likes to run the ball once they get inside the 20-yard line. Blount, they signed for a reason. I think they want him to kind of plug his way into touchdowns, and it also kind of mitigates the pressure that's going to be against Carson Wentz as well. So it continues to let Wentz grow while at the same time being better for the offense in general. I think that where he's going in drafts is pretty fair because the upside in terms of yards after contact and such isn't that high. And there is guys like Doug Martin going after him that I would much rather have. But in general, I think Blount's going to be a solid running back two this year, probably have a lot of weeks as well where he's a running back one. And in standard formats, I'm willing to take a chance. In PBR, I don't really have as much love for him just because he isn't a guy that is typically good at catching the ball out of the backfield and such. But in regular formats, I think he's going to be a solid running back too, and he's going at a very solid draft cost.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think with the news that the Eagles are definitely going to release Ryan Matthews, they're just waiting for him to be healthy enough where they don't get hit with a penalty for doing so. I think he easily starts moving up the draft board. Yes, in standard, he is much more valuable than in PPR, though I think in PPR, maybe he gets downgraded a little bit too much. Not going to repeat 18 touchdowns, but 10 to 12, I think, is a pretty reasonable bet. They're a team that is going, even though they've added a bunch of talent in the wide receiver core, they're going to rely on the running game a fair amount because it's Carson Wentz, and they don't want to put too much pressure on the second-year player. I almost called him a rookie. But I think he's going to get plenty of work. Definitely a fantastic running back two that I think you can get in running back three territory. All right, let's talk about the wide receiver core. Mike, who's the guy to own?
The wide receiver to own is obviously Jeffrey. He's going outside of the top 10 right now, and we talked about him last week. I have no problems with drafting Jeffrey. I don't think that he is necessarily as safe as you guys might think, but he's the obvious wide receiver to own here. As far as other options, Jordan Matthews is somebody that's interesting to me still in PPR formats just because of the value. Right now he's going around guys like Adam Thielen, Corey Coleman, John Brown, who I love. Kenny Britt's going a little bit later as well, but I think that Matthews could offer some value in PPR formats as a wide receiver three-ish option. There is an argument to be made that with Smith kind of running deep routes, Alshon Jeffrey there, that maybe there's more space and room to operate for somebody like Matthews. So I don't mind him, but it's obvious that Jeffrey is the guy to own here. I have no interest in Torrey Smith still. While I like Wentz, I'm not really sold on his deep ball quite yet. So I'm still rolling with Jeffrey, and I think that Matthews has a little bit of value as well. Keep in the back of your mind, I still like Bryce Treggs. I know he's not going to get any time this year, and he's probably not going to see the field. But if something happens and Jeffrey and or Smith get injured, then he could see the field a little bit, get some targets. And he has a lot of talent, just hasn't really been able to refine it quite yet.
Eli, what are your thoughts on the wide receiver situation in Philadelphia?
Well, obviously, Jeffrey, has more upside. And the move from the shitty Chicago Bears quarterback situation to a better offense and a more talented quarterback is nice for Jeffrey. But there is also injury concerns. He missed missed seven games in 2015, missed four games last year. I think Jordan Matthews, like Mike said, is a solid PPR guy. I think he's a little bit underrated. I know maybe he wasn't quite as good as people thought he was going to be, but he's been pretty reliable. He's averaging about like 80 catches, 900 yards, like, you know, six touchdowns or so in his career. He's pretty consistent, pretty reliable. I like him. I think he's going a little bit too late in drafts, while Jeffrey's going a little bit too early. I feel like there's no injury risk baked into Jeffrey's cost, which kind of worries me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eli. I love Alshon Jeffrey, and I think I would take the shot on him as a wide receiver, a low end wide receiver one. But I think it's really, really borderline in 12 or 14 team leagues. I like the value of Jordan Matthews. He's going as the number 39th wide receiver off the board, 96, almost 97th overall on ESPN.com in the Adam Thielen area, Eric Decker area. And I think the new weapons in Philadelphia will open up kind of some running room in the slot for Jordan Matthews. I think one of the issues they've had in the past is there's been no real other talent in that wide receiver core, and people just kind of key on him. Defenses won't be able to do that this year. You know, when you have a quarterback that doesn't necessarily have a fantastic deep ball, typically the slot guy is the guy that gets a lot of love. I think Matthews could return to wide receiver two territory this year, and especially in PPR formats. All right, let's see. Zach Ertz, are we going back to the well with Zach Ertz, Eli?
Yeah, I think he's a low-end tight end one. He was fifth in targets last year, top 10 in fantasy points at tight end each of the last 2 years. 106 targets last year was fantastic, 78 catches, 800 yards. He was top 10 in, among tight ends, even though he only had four touchdowns. I think he'll probably have a few more touchdowns this year. Yeah, he's pretty solid. I don't mind waiting, though. There's other guys that are going later than him that are, you know, pretty similar. So, but if his price drops at all, I'm perfectly willing to pick him. I know Ertz has been frustrating to fantasy owners over the years, but, you know, ultimately he's pretty solid, pretty reliable these days.
Mike, where are you at on Ertz?
He's somebody that certainly fit into my draft plan if I haven't been able to get Gronk up top. But I think that Ertz from what week 9 on last year, he led all tight ends in targets, and he also led all tight ends in fantasy points per game as well, and that's in PPR formats. But while he's not consistent, and while he's certainly been a headache for fantasy owners, the Eagles made an effort to get him the ball last year, and they also made an effort to get him the ball in the red zone from week 9 on. Mind you, Carson Wentz and the Eagles were in a lot of game scripts that kind of dictated for them to pass the ball more, which might not be the case this season. But based on what you're getting him in drafts, I think it's worth it. You know, right now he's going outside the top 10 at tight end, overall pick 116 when you average it all out. I like it. I like where he's going. I like his talent. I don't think he'll necessarily finish the year that much higher than top 10. He might be like a top 8 guy somewhere in there. But he has been somebody that I found myself putting into my draft plan just because the Eagles are going to need to throw at times this year, and Ertz is going to be one of the benefactors of that. So I think he's going to be a top 10-ish guy, and that's about where he's going.
I feel like there's only like 11 tight ends that you can legitimately count on week to week, and he's going 10th among those tight ends. So I think I wouldn't want to go at past those 11 guys. So if Ertz is still there and you don't want to experience that drop-off, I think you got to go get him.
Yeah, I've got him ranked right at tight end number 10. I mean, you know, he's a guy who's dealt with some injuries. Yeah, he had a lot of targets last year, especially in the second half. But again, part of that is to do with the fact that they had no one else to throw to other than Jordan Matthews on that team. I mean, they've already released Dorial Green-Beckham and some of the other crap that was on their roster last year. There's a little bit more talent, and I think that could lead to Zach Ertz getting a few less looks. I think I'd rather have Hunter Henry. You know, I'd rather have Martellus Bennett. I think there's an argument for a guy like Jack Doyle or a guy like Eric Ebron. I think I'd feel fine if I ended up with him, if I waited on tight end and he fell. But he's definitely not a guy I'm targeting at any point in drafts. All right, let's move on over to the New York Giants and talk about their situation over there. I've already stated that I am out on Eli Manning this year. I think you know, in spite of the fact that he's got a ton of talent on that team around him, I think the physical gifts are really starting to wane. I think this is the year he could easily fall off the cliff completely in terms of just his ability to get the ball out and to his targets. But, Mike, what are your thoughts on Eli Manning?
I think you're crazy because, yes, he did finish outside the top 20 quarterbacks last year in fantasy points per game, but he is 1 year removed from finishing as a top seven guy. And
he's
the offense has only gotten
6 years old.
I don't care. He's also gotten better in terms of his weapons. The weapons there, you can't deny, are just so easy for him to use that even somebody like, I don't know, Josh McCown could probably put up a top 15 season with these guys. I just don't, there is no argument. Yes, I don't think Eli Manning is a great NFL quarterback right now. And I completely agree with you on that from that standpoint. But in fantasy, he's going as the 16th quarterback right now. He finished as a top 10 option just over a year ago. Why can't he do it again with better weapons than he had at that time? I'm not sold on that. So, yes, I don't think that the talent is as good as it has been in the years past. And I think that he is going to regress talent-wise, probably in a very, very stark way these next couple of years. But as of right now, Eli Manning is somebody that you can probably depend on and draft him as a quarterback too, and possibly get quarterback one, probably get quarterback one numbers out of him. I think that there's every reason to believe that from a game-to-game basis, he has just as much upside as somebody like Big Ben going as the ninth quarterback, Derek Carr going as the eighth quarterback, Russell Wilson as a sixth. I mean, he has game-to-game upside of 400 yards and four touchdowns, and because he even did that last year in a game. So, 400 yards and three touchdowns. He did that last year. He can do that
in a game. He did that in a game.
Well, he had 250 and four touchdowns in another game. I mean, like, he had from week six to week 12 last year, he was probably a top five quarterback based on his numbers. The yardage wasn't there, but touchdowns wise, he was very efficient in the red zone and he was getting it done. Again, he just added Brandon Marshall. I just think it's really hard for me to believe. And I've never liked Eli Manning, but it's really hard for me to defend him right now. But it's just
I can't believe you are defending.
It's harder for me to not like him from a fantasy standpoint this year than to like him based on where he's going.
Yeah, I'm going to let Eli jump in here in a second, but I just have to just fire back real quick.
I know.
36 years old. He's got one of the worst offensive lines in football in front of him. Arguably the worst offensive line in front of him. And, I mean, Pro Football Focus just released about a week and a half ago, just released their offensive line rankings, and the Giants fell 28th. So, I mean, it's not hyperbole that I say it's one of the worst, if not the worst offensive line in the league in front of him. I understand he's got a ton of weapons, but if you're not going to be good at throwing the ball, you're not going to be able to use them. Yeah, you know, Odell Beckham makes up for a lot of really, really shitty throws because he can go up and get the ball at virtually, you know, any spot. But adding Brandon Marshall, a guy who's dealt with injury issues, you know, a guy who's kind of a little bit of a shell of his former self, is not going to fix the problems with Eli Manning personally. I got a feeling that we're talking about potentially a different quarterback behind center by the end of the year, whether because of injury or just poor performance. I'm completely out on Eli Manning. Eli, what are your thoughts?
It's not going to be injury. He's played every single game for, I think, 12 straight seasons, so he's not going to get hurt. I agree with Mike completely. And it's like the price isn't bad at all. He's like the 15th quarterback off the board. I mean, any two quarterback league I'm in, I'm 100% getting him because, like Mike said, you're paying – Nick, quarterback two price for a guy who at worst is going to be an elite quarterback two, and a lot of weeks probably give you solid quarterback one.
He was outscored by Alex Smith last year.
Okay. Well, look at the year before, like Mike said. I know he's a year older, but he's got the weapons. He's got
He's 2 years older from the year before.
Yeah. He's got three elite receivers. He throws the ball 600 times every goddamn year. I think he's going to come closer to his production from 2 years ago than he did last year. So I think 30 touchdowns is definitely happening, and 4,300 plus yards. I think he's going to be a borderline quarterback one, and he's going at quarterback 15. So I love him. I get that he's a flawed player and he turns the ball over too many times, but this isn't about, like you said earlier with Kirk Cousins, this isn't about how good of a quarterback he is. It's about kind of fantasy numbers he can get for you, and I think he's going to get a ton.
On a game-to-game basis, he's outscored by Carson Wentz, Carson Palmer, Colin Kaepernick, Trevor Siemian.
Did you say Carson Fulmer or Carson Palmer? Because you got baseball in the brain again.
No, I said Palmer.
All right, well.
But, I mean, like, you guys are – like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's great. Yeah, his numbers 2 years ago were fantastic. His numbers last year were not. You know, and let's be honest, like he was playing in a division with some pretty poor defenses last year, and he still couldn't, you know, make himself a top 20 quarterback last year. Like, I don't know, you guys can't go back 2 years on a 36-year-old quarterback and be like, oh, look, he was good 2 years ago. Like, where's the rationale that last year was just a down year? Like, there's nothing to point to it. Nothing has gotten that much better.
You know what the crazy thing is?
He's always thrown interceptions. That's the difference.
Well, you think that's going to change with the worst defensive line or worst offensive line of football in front of him?
While their offensive line is terrible, they still do a really good job of not getting him sacked. Like, they still were like top three in sack percentage last year. So, like, yes, their offensive line is terrible, but the way that McAdoo runs his scheme, that doesn't matter. And now they added another weapon to mitigate that as well. I mean, the argument is sound, but based on facts, the offensive line doesn't get Eli Manning sacked enough to really make a difference here. I think that, yes, it's somewhere in between being a down year and him having just a remarkable year the year before. I think it's somewhere in between that. But I think looking at last year and saying that that's where he's going to continue to kind of build off of is also the same rationale that you're kind of giving us shit for.
Yeah, I think you guys are insane.
The funniest part about this is that we all have him ranked the exact same.
Oh, no, he's getting moved down.
Well, what changed since your initial rankings?
I just, you know, I think it was a mistake in ranking. For me, he's going to be, let's see, I've got him as 17. I'm probably going to move him below Phillip Rivers. So he'll probably become my 20th. So, but I don't understand, like, to you, Eli, you called him an elite number two. Like, I don't understand, like, how does a 17th ranking even make him an elite number two?
Well, maybe I'll move him up a couple spots. How about that? I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks this year.
All right.
So
let's talk about Paul Perkins. Is this the year Paul Perkins breaks out? Eli,
I don't know. I'm just so sick of this Giants. I'm just so sick of this Giants running game. When's the last time they had a good running back? It's embarrassing. Barber. Yeah,
that Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, Bradshaw had a decent yeah.
Whatever. It's been pretty ugly for the last 4 years though. I think that he's got a great shot here. I mean, the only other running back they really have that's got, you know, a pulse is Shane Vereen. He's a, you know, a third down kind of guy. So I think Perkins is going to get every opportunity because he got no one else to do it. He was decent enough last year in a small sample size. He's obviously on a great offense, but, you know, they're going to lean towards the pass, but there'll be plenty of red zone opportunities for Perkins to score some touchdowns. So I think, this is going to be the year. It has to be. Who else is going to do it? I like how Justin's editing his quarterback rankings as we speak.
I'm magic that way. Mike, what are your thoughts on Paul Perkins?
I really like Paul Perkins for this year, and it's just another piece of an offense that I think is going to be really, really good for fantasy owners. Right now, he's going right behind Ameer Abdullah, Danny Woodhead, Frank Gore. I'd be willing to take him ahead of guys like that. So, yes, from week 14 to week 17, he was only a top 30 running back, and that's when he got 15 touches from that week on. But at the same time, he just didn't score any touchdowns. If you kind of add some touchdowns in there, he was probably going to be more of a top 15 option. So in drafts right now, at least, you know, going outside the top 30 running backs, about an 8th round pick or a 7th round pick, if you're playing in a little bit deeper format, it's worth a shot. I think that he can be a flex to running back 2 option initially and might be able to find his way into higher production later on in the season as well. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be their lead back the whole entire season. Yes, the offensive line is bad, and no, I don't think he'll have a lot of room to run, but he is a decent pass catcher. He's somebody that's pretty elusive in the open field. He didn't get a lot of reps last year, so he's still pretty fresh. He's going into another year of knowing the playbook. There's a lot of pros for Perkins, and I think based on where he's going, he's worth a shot, and I think that overall he'll probably end up somewhere in the vicinity of a top 25 guy.
Yeah, I think talent-wise, I wouldn't necessarily want to bank on him, but the role, I think, feels pretty safe to me. I mean, I don't think there's really anybody who's going to challenge him in that backfield for a number one position. So unless the Giants go out and sign someone at some point before the start of the season, I think it's Perkins' job to lose. And I think that alone makes him a top 25 to top 20 option at the running back position. Again, like Mike said, a guy who can catch the ball, and so he can be used on all three downs. I think he'd be better as a number or as kind of like a third down back or passing down back, but they don't really have the guy that they're going to trust to be an every down back or early down or get the early down work. So I think Perkins will be that guy by default, unless, like I said, they go out and sign someone, which I don't necessarily see them doing. So I think Perkins, you know, in baseball we talk about we want to draft skills, not roles. And I think a lot of times in football we kind of reverse that, because especially in the running back position, the job is the most – having the job is the most important thing. So I think he's definitely worth it to pick up considering where he's going in drafts right now. All right. Mike, I'm assuming you're going to take Brandon Marshall, but the question is, who do you buy at wide receiver outside of Beckham?
It would be Marshall, but I do think that there's a real buying opportunity for Sterling Shepard. Mm-hmm. You know, from week 9 on last year, he was a top 25 receiver, finishing ahead of Julio Jones, which is my ad. Taylor Gabriel, everybody's, you know, love child, DeSean Jackson, Willie Snead, Stephon Diggs, Kelvin Benjamin, Michael Crabtree. I mean, yes, he's going to have a reduced role based on Marshall being there, so this isn't really somebody that you're going to be able to count on, but I did like what I saw out of him. He has room to grow based on, you know, his yards after catch and multiple different facets that he didn't really flourish in last season, but in general, I think that he'll still be an asset on a team that's going to probably score in the top three in terms of points scored per game. I think that the Giants are going to have an absolutely lethal offense, and Sterling Shepard's going to be a part of that. He's really going to be somebody that you draft as a dart throw that, in case Marshall or Odell Beckham get injured — Odell Beckham hasn't been the healthiest guy in the world. He's had multiple hamstring problems. He's obviously not mentally stable. It's not completely 100% that he's going to be on the field all season. And if that happens, Shepard's going to be in a very good role, and he's going outside the top 150 right now. So Shepard's the guy that I would actually buy more so based on value, more so than Marshall, just because he's worth it. And in the long run, he might be somebody that you can actually use on a week-to-week basis, and you're paying nothing for it.
Eli, what are your thoughts?
I like both. I think they both present pretty good values. I feel like both of their draft stock is – they're going way too late. I just feel like people think that there's not enough footballs to go around for all these guys. But Eli throws the ball 600 times a year, so there's going to be enough – catches for all of them. I think, like Mike said, there's a ton of upside for Shepard. If one of the other two guys gets hurt, that's huge for Shepard. You know, he had a pretty solid rookie season, 65 catches, 700 yards, 8 touchdowns. You don't see too many rookies with production that good. I know he's not exactly a big play guy, only averaged 10 yards a catch, but I think he's pretty talented. He's going to have some – he was on the field for 98% of the pass plays last year. That's really impressive. They go three wide a ton, so he's not going to lose a ton of snaps. Maybe he'll lose some touchdowns to Marshall, but I think Shepard's going to have some value. He's going to be a guy that I'm going to take a flyer on late.
Yeah, I like Shepard. I don't think the Brandon Marshall signing hurts him too much. If anything, it might even open up some extra running routes underneath. I think he's going way too late. I don't think Marshall is a bad draft cost considering where he's going right now. I just don't think he's particularly like a good value. Personally, I mean, he's going right in the Jameson Crowder area. I think I'd rather have Crowder. He's going in the Stephon Diggs area. I think they're pretty equal. Going in the Pierre Garçon area, I'd rather have Pierre Garçon. Martavis Bryant, I think I'd rather have Martavis Bryant. Do you vehemently disagree with those two, obviously. Crowder, I'm guessing you don't disagree with.
Crowder I don't disagree with because I love him, but in terms of Garçon and Martavis Bryant.
Think about the volume for Garçon.
I get it, but your same argument with Eli Manning can certainly be held with somebody like Garçon. Like, Garçon's getting older.
Garçon doesn't throw the ball, so it's a different argument, but I see what you're saying.
Garçon's on a San Fran team that, yes, they'll have to throw the ball, but and yes, the volume will be there, but durability hasn't been his strong suit. He's also getting older. He's on a shitty ass team. I mean, like, I just don't really see the reason to go with him over somebody like Marshall, who has been established, is going to a place that wants to win and going to a place that's going to throw the ball 100%. Like, they're going to throw the ball 600 plus times. I don't get it. Martavis Bryant, I'd say, has higher upside than Marshall, but he's a year removed. Like, we don't know what he's going to do coming into this season. I'm first and foremost, I'm a Martavis Bryant lover. I've loved the guy since day one, but I can't sit here and say, you know, that I feel 100% that he's going to end up, you know, beating Marshall in points this season. I think that's kind of that's more of a high upside play. Like, if you're in a shallower format looking for somebody to really, really, you know, shoot up the boards, rather than somebody that you're kind of looking for dependability and such.
All right. I mean, you'll probably know the answer to this question by me asking it. Who scored more points in fantasy last year, Brandon Marshall or Pierre Garçon?
I don't know, Justin.
Garçon.
Obviously.
Yeah, he had a good year.
Yeah,
he was on the Jets, though, Marshall, on a team that literally was terrible. The worst team I've seen him be on ever. Like, Marshall has had some pretty bad seasons, but the quarterback play was so bad.
It wasn't even close. It was like 50 points.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins had a top five season last year.
He was also the number four option in Washington by Deshaun Jackson.
Not really. Reed wasn't on the field.
Reed
wasn't on the fields, and they literally didn't run the ball. So he was in literally one of the best situations going to one of the worst situations. Like, I would bet my life that Marshall, we can do whatever bet you want, but Marshall's going to end up with more points than Garçon. Like,
right,
it's not
right,
going to
be close. Yeah, we'll brag about that one. That's an easy one. All right.
Yeah, I'm sure for you. I'm sure you feel great about it.
I do feel great about it. Evan Ingram, Eli, is he worth purchasing this year?
I guess he's worth a flyer. I got him ranked at like tight end like 25, but he certainly got great upside, way better upside than a significant amount of people around him. I don't think he's got a whole lot of competition. I don't have much faith in Rhett Ellison and Will Tye. I mean, they're serviceable veterans to hold the fort until Evan Ingram's ready, but I think he is ready. He's big, he's fast. He's got a ton of production in college. He dominated the combine. Obviously, he's not going to get a lot of attention when defenses are focused on Beckham, Marshall, and that other dude. What's the other dude's name again?
Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard. So, yeah, obviously, if you can get him late, it's worth the flyer. Maybe you can get lucky. If not, you can just cut him and find a veteran tight end to hold you over.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Ingram?
In my opinion, last season, Hunter Henry was the best rookie tight end to come out in a long time.
Yes.
And the whole year, he finished as the 18th tight end. And that was
what?
In a season that I felt like he did really well. This is in PPR scoring. There's no way that I'm drafting Ingram anywhere. And that's not a slight against his talent. He's going to be, in my opinion, a top five tight end at some point in his career. But the Giants don't target the tight end. All of their tight ends combined got less targets in the red zone last year than Sterling Shepard alone. That's not even counting Odell Beckham or any of the running backs. And they just don't throw the tight ends at all anyways. Even when you don't look at the red zone, they just rarely targeted the tight end position. Yes, they brought in Ingram probably to, you know, give him some more targets than what they've been doing the last couple of years with their tight ends, but it's a long told story. Rookie tight ends have trouble in fantasy football because they still have a playbook to learn. They have blocking schemes to learn. There's just a lot on their plate when they first come into the league. And even somebody like Eric Ebron, who I think a lot of people would say was better in the combine and, you know, going into the NFL draft than Evan Ingram himself, he still hasn't really figured it out. There's just really no reason for me to go Ingram right now. And I think people really haven't thought about that anyways to this point. I think a lot of people are just assuming that the old tale of tight ends not working out in their first year is kind of just something that's going to keep continuing to happen. So overall, it's a long story to say Evan Ingram is not worth drafting this year.
I agree, but it does seem like people are drafting him. He's going 16th among tight ends in ESPN at pick 135. That's way too early.
Yeah, 22nd in the fantasy football calculator. If you are thinking about drafting Ingram, I hope it's in a dynasty league, because in regular redraft leagues, there's no route, in my opinion. Even somebody like O.J. Howard, who I love as a Tampa Bay fan, and Jameis Winston loves to target tight ends, he's probably going to get some time this year, but he's at the very best, Hunter Henry was an 18th best tight end last year. That's the upside that you're looking at when you're drafting one of these rookies. And their talent is probably far superior to some of these other rookies that have come out. But I just don't see there being an avenue to really any type of positive fantasy implications here.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the rookie tight ends, I think I've got him third. So
really?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you rather have O.J. Howard?
Yeah, I would.
You wouldn't rather have, I'm going to butcher this name too.
David Njoku?
Thank you.
No.
I think I would.
I'd have Ingram. But that's the thing is, like, I'm not drafting any of them. I'd rather take, you know, one of the Texans guys. You know, I mean, it's somebody that's going to be on the field that's been established. You know, Jack Doyle, I would take him. Julius Thomas, I think, could have a revitalized year in Miami, even though that's probably a fool's errand. I've just always had an affinity for Julius Thomas.
I'm with you on both those guys.
Yeah. Yep, me too.
So, all right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Mike, why don't you tell people what you're working on, where you can reach on social media?
Yeah, reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. I'm going to continue writing for Fantasy Pros this year, so you can check that out for all the football stuff. You can also check out any other football things I write on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. If you're a baseball fan, I write for baseballhq.com as well. Yeah, we have mugs that we are making. We're also selling Friends with Fantasy Benefits shirts on the site if you are interested in that. We have them in all types of sizes and colors, and it has our brand new awesome logo as well, so check it all out. And if you give us a 5-star review and send it to Justin or myself, I will definitely hook you up with a mug. I have a few of those left.
Awesome. Eli, what are you working on? Where have you reached?
I don't even know why you bother asking me this, because A, I'm never working on anything, and B, no one ever tweets me, so I'm not even going to give out my Twitter handle. You can all go to hell.
Oh, wow.
You can hear it at the top of the show if you're really that interested. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. I'm going to do all my promotional stuff. You can read all my baseball stuff on FanGraphs or on FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com, where all my football writing will be going this season. You can hear me on this podcast multiple times a week, on the baseball podcast multiple times a week. You can hear me on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern for the Tout Wars Hour. We'll be covering baseball and football and probably maybe some basketball and golf, even though I know shit about either of those. And then I got a couple other things that are in the works, so hopefully I'll be able to announce some of that stuff pretty soon. All right, that is going to wrap us up for this episode. For Eli, Mike, myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.